Hey friends, Lee Brown here, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And we've got today Jennifer Weiner coming to us from the Phoenix area of Arizona, talking about some different angles that she's seen in the business and giving us a little mom advice too, being a parent and a realtor at the same time. So enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow Up Boss, you're going to love it. And it's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. So good morning, Jennifer, and welcome to Crazy Shit. I'd love for you to tell our audience a little about you, where you're located, how long you've been in and around real estate. Give us a little bit of the Jennifer picture.
Okay. Well, let's see. It started out 44 years ago in the town of Riverside, California. And I moved out here in 2003 because I was finishing school at Long Beach State. Didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And actually just did the math, and two homes, we could own two homes for the price that I rented a house in Huntington Beach. So I moved out here, bought two homes, started flipping, started working resale, and thought I was Donald Trump. I started building luxury homes and apartments. And then 2008 happened. They called and wanted some money back. So I got into bank owned and short sales. And then I grew my team in about 2014 to where we're at today. We have 40 agents, about 400 in our network. And we have a couple other title insurance. I love owning businesses. And I'm publishing my first book. So a lot of exciting things going on.
That's a lot of different pathways, but it is interesting how many people start off in the flipping side of real estate and then wind up in the realtor side because you figure out there's just so many different pathways. So when did you give up the flipping part of the business? Was it too time intensive, or did you keep it and start hiring some of it out, or what was that transition like?
You know, it's been touch and go always. So I saw the opportunity from the beginning. Besides, I was not coming from a lot of money. I've always been the breadwinner. So why wouldn't you, like when you're an investor, work with other investors or start working with buyers and sellers? So, back then my marketing was like putting Craigslist ads out or having open houses. Things have evolved a lot more since then. But I got heavily back into flipping in 2011. We did about 50 homes that year.
Oh, and wow.
2012. Came. Arizona is very unique in that every tech company or a hedge fund, any Wall Street money that wants to see if their model works comes to here. So we had all of our hedge funds come to Phoenix in 2012. So I had to pivot again, and then throughout the years, I've still flipped. I've also kept some of those for long-term rentals and Airbnbs. So I love real estate. I love seeing opportunity. I'm looking at developing again because it's picking back up. So it's always been like when the market is good for it, it's like going like deeper, and then when it's like retracting, kind of pulling back a little bit. But you always have that funnel.
But now, what part of Arizona are you in specifically? You in the Phoenix area or Tucson area, Flagstaff? Where are you at?
Phoenix area. Yeah. So we Scottsdale, Phoenix. I lived in Cave Creek. I'm living in Fountain Hills right now. So I love the two out of the last 5 years, living your home two out of the last 5 years, you don't have to pay capital gains, and then you can always have new things. So,
and houses are addictive. We know that part. And if they're newer houses, yeah. I'm still surprised nobody's made a perfume out of the smell of sheetrock and new lumber. I think that's a tapped market. You think about how we all feel when we smell that. We're like,
No, I always get like the new car spray, in the car when you get it. Uh-huh. That'd be a great.
I think this is a Shark Tank idea. So I guess our listeners and viewers better not steal it from us without cutting us in. All right. So in looking at the market as it is now, of course, we're recording this around the latter part of September 2022, and the markets everywhere are changing. So you're looking to go back into developing now as things do shift. So what are you thinking about building? Are you looking at the tiny house market, duplexes, some kind of different type of density, or traditional single family? And where do you see the market going?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now, as a real estate team leader, we're definitely pivoting our team and pivoting fast because it got, it got different. You know, and so many agents, because I've been in it for 18 years, but I've been out of production for about a year. So right now we are, you know, with listings being a much bigger opportunity. Now with listings, they don't sell in 2 days. You actually have to market them. And with buyers, you have to, you know, getting back to buyer consultations and better follow-up. You know, these are all key pieces that I'm investing like right now into our team because my team's like my baby. So, you know, I'm never going to give up my baby.
When you talk about really nurturing your team, and that's so critical in real estate because it's so hard for agents to make it if they don't have somebody pouring into them. So let's go back to where you see the market going there in the Phoenix Scottsdale area. Are you seeing any changes in the way of the kind of inventory that's being built, the new construction? What are your agents hearing from people as they're looking to buy and sell? Are they looking for different kind of product yet?
You know, there is a lot of fear out there. And I would say it's not fear that is ungrounded anymore. You know, if you were scared of buying a house last year, you know, a lot of those, you just didn't want to buy a house.
Right.
So now with affordability lower, we are definitely seeing more less sales. Interest rates this week went up quite a bit. So we are having to pivot with different options, right? Our different unique selling propositions and going back to like prospecting for listings because listings are now a lot more of an opportunity.
Sure.
And where the market's going, when to invest, you know, might be a little different that, you know, we want to grow our market share as a team. Because it's also a time that a lot of agents will exit the industry, sadly. So maybe some of these agents have been in the industry 30 years and they're just not, you know, they just don't have like the temperature to want to take on another shift. Or maybe it's a new agent that just hasn't had the skills and support. So, you know, we're looking at it's truly a gift of the shift. And within all that fear, dispelling the fear so we can really clearly break it out to our buyers and sellers. Because the good thing is we still have relocation here.
Sure.
You know, and there's certain markets that, you know, you have, when you look at your specific market, look at what the specific going ons are. Do you have inbound? Is it outbound? What state? But, you know, I'm looking forward to next year because next year we'll have been like through the shift starting, through the shift evolving. For the last five recessions, real estate prices went up. So, and this should be no different. You know, we see definitely rents coming down. So it's now like affordable to rent a house where before rents were so much higher than mortgages. So getting back down to the foundations of business, of real estate, because if you go back to like Robert Kiyosaki's advice, his advice still applies. You know, my advice probably back in 2008, you shouldn't have listened to me, but I was doing the best with what I thought, what I got with sure. the advice at the time. So going back to those long-term foundations and, you know, into next year, I know interest rates will go down. I know we've seen a lot of people here in Phoenix. We have a lot of iBuyers that have a lot of inventory. So a lot of those are fire sales. So buyers can now get a lot better deals on homes. So you can find those pockets of opportunity where people do have fear and they're selling at prices that are, whether it's a builder, whether it's an investor, or maybe it's somebody that just has to sell and they're listing it at a much better price than they would have listed it 5 months ago.
Sure. Caveat listeners, when she says she thinks interest rates are going to go down, that is a guess. That is not a set in stone. So please understand that anything you hear somebody talk about on this show is their opinion. And so you cannot use this as financial or interest rate advice because I think interest rates are going to keep going up. But that's also the coolest part of looking at housing and inventory and the numbers and the great economy is you're going to hear different things from different people. So big asterisk, do your own research. We don't know what's going to happen because we do not have crystal balls. All right. Yep. So back to my original question, which you're still not answering, girlfriend, you're killing me here. What are you seeing demand for in the Phoenix Scottsdale area? Are the buyers that your team's working with, are they looking for the same single family they've been buying? Or are they starting to look for smaller houses for a smaller energy footprint? Are they looking for duplexes and triplexes and quads and different kinds of styles of houses and density? Is that happening yet in your area?
We are having a lot more rental inventory hit the market in multifamily. So right. I'd say the affordable part of the market is really not tackled yet. But what a lot of buyers are doing since prices have come down and they're getting more concessions paid for, like if you're a first-time home buyer, It's a lot of like, they're looking at different areas. Now they're looking at price reductions. Now they're looking at maybe they could have afforded the payment, but they can get concessions now. They don't have to, they can make get repairs done. And we do have a lot of luxury still because of a lot of inbound relocation, as well as a lot of investors for Airbnb. So there's kind of a couple different segments of the market that are performing better. And there's certain areas that are actually turning around already. They're kind of on the uptick. And then there's certain cities, more of the outer lying cities. We like the drive until you qualify. So those ones we're seeing hit the slower. They're slower to pick up. The more centrally located areas have been picking up a little bit more.
So let's just say you're a practicing realtor and you want to hang out with the people doing more business than you, because we all know you don't have to recreate the wheel. Guess what? There is a community of highly ambitious, organized, energetic real estate professionals. There are solo agents, teams, brokerages all over the place. They're coming to Follow Up Boss Conference, also known as FUBCon. So maybe you want to take your game to the next level. If you come to Follow Up Boss Conference, you're going to master the five biggest levers for building your real estate business over the long haul: systems, marketing, lead conversion, lead retention, and accountability. All five are available to you at FUBCon.com. This is November 8th through 10th in sunny Las Vegas. Take a flight out there, write it off on your taxes, get more ideas than you can implement. And if you want to check out Follow Up Boss in the meantime, go to followupboss.com/crazy for a 30-day free trial, where you'll be so sucked in, you'll definitely want to come to the conference and hang out with the people who can help you elevate your business. FUBCon.
That's a great phrase, driving to qualify. I think that hits almost every metro area. And I imagine some people are going to steal that phrase because that's fantastic. All right. So, of course, the premise of the show is crazy shit in real estate. And all of my listeners and viewers like to hear the stories that they'll never hear on HGTV. And after 18 years in the business and you having done so many different things in and around it, I bet you've got something good to tell that you still can't believe you lived through it. So what you got for us, Jennifer?
Oh, God, there's so much. I would say the very first open house I did, and I moved from Orange County, Huntington Beach. This is Tempe, and my first open house, I think I had every snack and tea that you could have had. And the neighbors were skinning a javelina, which is a wild hog, from the front tree. And I'm like, did I like move to the Wild West? Like, what is
going on? Were you in a neighborhood, or were you out on a ranch somewhere?
Total just track home neighborhood in the smackdown of Tempe, Arizona. So I did have now I've seen some beautiful, beautiful homes, and I've seen some, you know, others. And one time I got to see this beautiful basement, and the guy took me into his backyard. He had plywood over this old pool with a shed, and then he cut a hole in the shed in the floor, and he put a ladder down there, and he went into his pool, and that was his basement. So
wait a minute. It was actually a pool, or it was a basement? Yeah.
It was an old pool, like built in the 60s, where you put plywood like all over the pool, and then a shed on top of it, and then a hole in the flooring with a ladder that went down into the pool.
That's so weird. How would you keep it clean, for one? And how would you get out of there, for two? And why would you do that, for three? That's so creepy.
I didn't buy the house. It was for flip. And I said, no.
No, that's a bad juju kind of a house. Did that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Because I'm feeling really creeped out and I didn't even see it.
You know, I have actually shown like some of the houses where there was like suicide and stuff. So it wasn't as creepy as that. Okay. But it was definitely not something I would think you would see on like, you know, one of those like luxury home shows.
Not so much. So did you ever go back and look at it after somebody bought it and see if they kept that feature or if they changed it up?
No, I didn't. But you know, if I were to do it, if somebody probably did fill it in. That's what we need to fill it in.
Schools probably the only option, unless I guess you get the plywood off, take the shed off, and treat it like a normal pool.
Yeah, you actually would have to do the whole new pool, though. But you know, I'd say it's never a boring day. Never a boring day in real estate.
Yeah, because you never know who you're going to be dealing with or what their house looks like. And the outside doesn't always match the inside. All right. So go back to people skinning the javelina in the front yard. Is this going on during your open house? And did you have any buyer traffic? And did they inquire about the neighbors? Like, what's the whole, how did that work out?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know at first. I just saw them in their fatigues and their barking dogs. And I was like, oh, so I set up the open house. And the first person that came in told me. So then I went and like It's like, what? So then I interviewed them and wanted to see if they wanted to sell their house, but
Good job. So you right out of the gate knew what to do.
Well, too, I thought like, well, if they wanted to sell their house, they could also tell all the prospective buyers that they're
buy both. Hey, and control your neighbors.
I said, like, there's free meat, you know, your neighbors are. Yeah, no, you always try to find a selling perk somewhere, right?
I mean, you can't control the neighbors. I mean, how many times have we said in the business that it doesn't really matter what's going on at the neighbor's house because they could leave tomorrow. And if they're the perfect neighbors, they could also leave tomorrow. So it's more about the big picture of things in that one house.
Yeah. Luckily, my kids weren't with me because I have four kids and my oldest is 25. She started working with me in the business when she was five. So going with me to showings, open houses, she would color me open house flyers. But there's definitely some times that, you know, definitely be safe out there.
I mean, honestly, we don't talk about that enough, the safety angle of real estate. So I'm curious, we don't often talk about the fact that a lot of realtors are parents who have kids that go with them. My kids went with me from day one because I'd already been in real estate before I had them. And I always ask permission of buyers and sellers before I brought them, and nobody ever cared. But you go back and look at it, and you're like, man, that may not have been the safest thing in the world to take them with me sometimes when you don't know the house that you're showing or listing. So do you have any tips for our listeners and viewers as a mom who has successfully stayed in the business and raised four kids while not going completely crazy? What's your best tip for parenting as a realtor?
You know, I think a lot of what we do in our business life, we can apply to our family life. And for me, with my four kids, and I'm a single mom, I believe in quality over quantity. So when I have my time with my kids, it's going to be magical. Now, sometimes it's like having a family board meeting every Sunday night, you know, to prepare for the week ahead, just like you would do with your business. I also super, super heavily believe in domestic leverage. Like, for instance, I remember when I started cleaning my house in 2011, and I had to tell my then husband, this is what my dollar per hour is, and this is how much money I would lose. I do clean my house better than anybody cleans my house. I was raised by my mom, you know, OCD queen. I'm OCD too. But even if I'm like relaxing or taking my kids out for the day, or if I'm just doing something fun, not even business related, you need R&R. And you need to have a balanced life. So, you know, by just simply leveraging that piece out for like what the last 11 years, now we've added on to domestic leverage, you know, just having subscription services for food. So I don't have to think about making food, having a nanny that can like come and, you know, take the kids off to, you know, they could take them to the baseball game and I could meet her there, you know, just so your quality of life and you're stable to be productive at work and also have a life, you know, have like go to the gym, actually have time with friends, you know, things that you kind of shortcut sometimes when you're trying to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you gotta make that choice. And I'm sure that you pour that into your team members and to your associate agents because they forget that sometimes they get so hung up in a buyer or a seller or a transaction. Realtors are the first ones to forget that there's other things in life besides the deal they're in right this second.
Oh, absolutely. I outline how I was able to get out of production, but also for my team immediately, you know, we have a team, but like taking Sundays off, when I did that, I think that was 2012 or 13, where I just locked it off and I told my clients, I always had a plan in place, even when I didn't have a big team. But that was one way for me to set boundaries so that every Sunday, my kids could look forward to doing something really fun with mom. And so that I didn't go into Mondays like a total B word because I haven't had any time off. And, you know, everybody needs that. So it's so important that we'll never be balanced. That's like a myth. But I look at what I call spiritual wheel, like friends, family, money, love life. And really kind of being honest with myself of where I'm at on each one and then calendaring those things in. So if you like to paint, I just started taking up painting or, okay, put that on your calendar, a date night with your husband, you know, time with your kids, all their games. And then you start to fill in the business things, the most important things that you honor your commitments for. And I know it's hard, you know, sometimes when it's just a commitment to ourselves. You know, but those are some ones that we like so often overlook, but they say the accountability is the highest form of love. And, you know, why don't you do more for yourself? If I'm going to show up for an appointment like today, 6:00 a.m. here, you know, with you, I'm going to show up whether I'm tired or not. But if I'm going to the gym, you might need me to take a little bit extra discipline, you know, to make me want to go to the gym at 6 a.m.
Love that. Accountability is the highest form of love. We might just have to title this episode by that, because that is an amazing way to build your business and your life. I love it. All right, Jennifer. So if somebody wants to reach out to you and find out about the business models that you've built and what you got going on, how do they find you?
Yeah, the best thing now, we are all very social, right? Instagram. So Jennifer Wehner, W-E-H-N-E-R, on Instagram, DM me. I always get back to you, whether it be you just want, you know, different parts of the market, referrals, just, you know, I think there's so much collaboration to be had. I love quotes. I don't know if you do, but Chris Voss took a spin on a Charles Darwin quote I always love to go back to. And it's not the most intelligent man, nor the most capable, but the most collaborative man that ultimately survives. Because when we can collaborate, we can know how to pivot quicker, know how to, maybe with you, I can see, you know, the next step ahead, or, you know, kind of my visionary skills, but get a group of together. Now I can see, like with Mary, there's a third step, and Dan, there's a fourth step. And so I love collaboration and seeing what's going on in different markets, because sometimes what's going on in different markets, you can apply in your own market and be individual, set yourself apart.
100%. All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show and for getting up so early to put your top knot on so you could share some insights and stories with our viewers and listeners. I greatly appreciate it. And guys, as you know, you probably weren't sitting in front of your computer to watch this. All of Jennifer's contact information, handles, and all that stuff is in the show notes for this episode. So you can reach out to her anytime. And if you love that catchphrase about accountability being the highest form of love, give her a high five and a thumbs up in the comments so she'll know you appreciate that thoughtfulness too as you look forward to the next phase of your business. So as always, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you around here on Crazy Shit.
Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.